Thank you, Brother Rogers, and thank you very much for having us this weekend with you. Thank you for the Prophet's Chamber. We've enjoyed to relax and to stretch a little bit after we've been on the road for a while. Thank you for the nice basket that was placed in the room. We really enjoyed it, especially the kids with all the goodies. About 15 years ago, my wife and I were commissioned to go to El Salvador as missionaries in this platform. Many things have happened ever after that. Of course, we have three children: Daniel, our oldest, 14, Tommy, 11, and Brenda, she's 9. And it's good to be back here this evening. I would like to start by thanking you for 15 years of faithful support. God has been good to us in so many ways, but one of the most evident of them is allowing us to serve Him through people like you. We have seen God do great things in the lives of people in El Salvador, and I know that it is due to your prayers for your missionaries. Thank you for holding down the front lines for us as we go into the foreign field. We have been in El Salvador since January 1997. For the past 12 years, we have focused largely on establishing of a solid, independent, fundamental, soul-winning Baptist church. When we started deputation 15 years ago, we had three main goals in mind for the work in El Salvador. First, to establish such a church. Second, to train the newcomers to win souls so that the city of Santa Ana and the country of El Salvador might be reached with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And third, to establish churches like the one in Santa Ana all over the country of El Salvador. To this end, the Bible Institute of Santa Ana was started in 2002. Since then, there have been 12 graduates into full-time Christian service. Four of these graduates are preacher boys ready to start new churches. We are now concentrating our efforts not only on the continuing work of the already established church and Bible Institute in Santa Ana, but in starting new works in the surrounding cities as well. Please pray for these young men as we help them start new works. These men will pastor independent, autonomous churches. We will simply be aiding them very much in the same way that you helped us start the work in El Salvador. Let me give you a few statistics of what we have accomplished so far. We are averaging a Sunday school attendance of 300 in that one church we started. Between 45 and 50 soul winners go out soul winning each week in three different soul winning programs. We average souls won on a weekly basis of about 80. We run 8 bus routes. We have 3 junior churches, 15 Sunday school classes. On top of that, the Central American region, we hold a conference for pastors where 40 or more pastors attend and learn how to win souls. These conferences are sponsored by Fuegos de Evangelismo. And we have now 12 full-time Christian workers graduated from our Bible Institute. One of the greatest challenges over the last 12 years has been lack of facilities for the church. We have held church services in 6 different locations throughout the city of Santa Ana. We are presently renting a building that we believe is the place God would have us to purchase. For almost 4 years, we have rented it, and in so doing, we have seen the church double in size. It is in a great location. There are adequate classrooms for the Sunday school classes, and it has great potential for future renovation, allowing us to grow even more. The total investment is $57,000. We have researched different ways by which to raise money for this project. Our people have sacrificially given. We have renovated the building to make it more useful for the church with their giving. We can secure this building with a down payment of only $25,000. We are praying that 25 churches will give $1,000 toward this initial cost in purchasing the building. 9 churches have already pledged to give $1,000 each. Three have already sent their pledges in. The main purpose of our three-month furlough is to raise this down payment. Would you consider prayerfully taking part in this project? Please be sure to pick up one of our prayer cards before you leave today. And please continue praying for us. We have a small DVD presentation, so you may get a little taste of what El Salvador is about. And if Brother Cook, I guess, can help me now. Once again, I'm very glad that God can use anybody. I grew up in El Salvador. While we were having war there in the country, I thought, I guess there's no other way out than either go into the army and get in the army or work with the communists. I was a 17-year-old boy, and a soul winner came by and won me to Christ. God called me to preach. The last place I wanted to go back to was El Salvador. We have been there for the last 12 years. And I'm glad that he can use anybody. I'm sure he can use you too. If you can go with me this evening to your Bibles in the book of John, chapter 5. I'm going to read verses 1 to 8. The Gospel of John, chapter 5, verses 1 to 8. And before we read our Bibles, just let me make this emphasis. English is not my first language. I'm always aware of the fact that I communicate the English language, but I have a terrible accent. This lady was teaching Spanish kids English, and she told the kids, I want you to use the word chicken in a sentence. And Pedro said, would you please use the word chicken in a sentence? And Pedro said, my sister asked me to sweep the floor. And I told her she can do it herself. Once again, English is not my first language, so I'll do my best. John chapter 5, verses 1 to 8. About verse number 1 says, after this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In this lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in, was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie, and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, Rise, take up thy bed, and walk. Jesus was coming up to Jerusalem since a Jewish feast was taking place in those days. As I read my Bible in John chapter 4, verse 4, the Bible says, And he must needs go through Samaria. I read in Luke 19:10, For the Son of Man is to save, to seek and to save that which was lost. In Matthew 4:23, I read, And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. Matthew reminds us again in Matthew chapter 9, verse 35, And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. And in the words of Jesus himself in Luke 14:18, The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. As I read the Bible, I am under the impression that Jesus was interested in people, or at least was looking for opportunities to meet people. He was entering the city in our story by the sheep gate. There was a pool that had five porches, or hallways, if you please. In these hallways or porches, there were found a multitude of sick folks. They were maybe 10, 20, 50, or even 70. I do not know exactly. The fact is that there was a great multitude. Among them were the blind. These could not enjoy the sun rising or the sunset. Probably they could not distinguish between pretty and not so pretty. They could not tell the difference between pink and red. Even more, they would stumble with anything or anybody that would cross their way. Maybe they had to use a special cane, or some young boy or girl that would help them get from one place to another. For them, the world was just a big, huge, cold, and dark place. By the way, that's the way the unsaved man sees this world, without the light of the gospel. Among them were the halt, those who had to use crutches to move just about anywhere. Could it be that they've lost a leg? Perhaps some child sickness had caused their legs to be handicapped. Maybe sugar diabetes was the cause, that their legs had to be amputated. In many cases, a relative would come and help them to move or go from place to place. Today, the world is found blind and handicapped. Sometimes it's due to their service for their country or a car accident, and sometimes just a result of their sins. Among them were the withered. It may have been a stroke that had left them in this condition. It could have been a nervous breakdown, or polio might have hit their frail bodies in childhood. Perhaps spinal meningitis when they were just babies or infants. Humanity is found today with blindness, halting, or handicap, with withered minds. Humanity is found withered as a result of an emotional incident. Humanity is found withered, halt, detained because of sin sometimes. Whichever the case, with these impotent folks, they were waiting for the moving of the water. An angel would come from time to time to the pool, and the water would move. This water was not blessed water. The healing power was not in the water, but in the faith put on the one who sent the angel into the water. The key was not trusting in H2O, but to trust in the God who made H2O. The healing power was not in God's water, but in the God of the water. I read in our story in verse number 4 of chapter 5. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in, was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. The healing power was not found in the moving of the water, but in the God that was behind the moving. By the way, God does not bless movements. Godly movements are a byproduct of a blessing. Where I work in El Salvador a few years back, they had guerrillas. The communists were there. I'll tell my people, guerrillas in the past were just a movement provoked by the atheism of communists. God does not bless movements. Movements are just an effect, a byproduct of a cause, which is God. Healing was not found in the water. Healing was not found in the moving of the water. Healing was not found in the pool of water. The pool was simply the place where to gather the water. This pool had been created and designed by man. Healing would take place in the individual with faith. Today, man seeks for healing or relief in the water, but not in the living water, which is our Lord Jesus Christ. Today, men and women seek for healing and inner peace in a movement, but not in the one who blesses the movement, which is God. Some follow the Pentecostal movement. Some follow the charismatic movement. Some follow the independent Baptist movement and other movements. It's too sad. There is so much religion out there and so little salvation. So much Christianity in quotes and so little true Christians. Today, multitudes seek healing or relief in the pool of religion. Sometimes they become members of a church, but church membership won't save them. Sometimes they get baptized, but baptism won't save them. Sometimes they become choir members, but being in the choir won't save anybody. People take the Lord's Supper, but the Lord's Supper won't save anybody. We found in this passage that among the multitude of sick, there was a man that for 38 years have had an infirmity or sickness. The Lord Jesus knew that he'd been there for many years. 38 years. If we live 70 years, as the Bible says, 70, it means that more than half of his life, he has been hoping and waiting for healing or for some kind of relief. In verse number 6, I want you to see, when Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, "Wilt thou be made whole?" Let me ask you a question. Do you think he wanted to be healed? By the way, he didn't answer the question Jesus asked. He gave an answer to another question. I want you to see in verse number 7. The impotent man answered him, "Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool." Once again, healing was not found in the water. Healing was not found in the moving of the water. Healing was not found in the pool of water. In other words, within that man's bosom, there was a desire to be made whole. He wanted to be healed and relieved of that infirmity he'd had for 38 years. He had faith enough to wait half of his life for one chance to get into the pool when the water was troubled. But the real problem with this man was that he had no man when the water was troubled to put him into the pool. He needed someone to help him. He needed someone with some compassion. He needed someone that would quit being selfish and instead give him just a hand. He needed someone that didn't just care for their own life as long as the sick man would get healing. Today we live in a sin-sick world. Sin has blinded the understanding of men. Sin has left boys and girls halting. Sin has been the cause of withered minds on men and women. Sin had left men sick of the palsy. Sin had left humankind wounded. And multitudes in their condition are seeking for healing. And they don't know any better. And they expect to find some relief. And they expect to find some helping hand that would come to the rescue, weep over their sorrow, or feel their pain. The sad thing is that the world is waiting and waiting and waiting. And some died waiting. And their cry is, "I have no man when the waters troubled to put me into the pool." Down in the human heart, crushed by the tempter, feelings lie buried that grace can restore. Touched by a loving heart, wakened by kindness, cords that are broken will vibrate once more. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying. Jesus is merciful. Jesus will save. The only hope this man had was that someone would put him into the pool. The truth is that we cannot heal anybody, nor we can make anybody whole. But we sure can be the instrument that God could use. We can be the ones that put them into the pool. We can be the ones that will take them to God. We can be the ones that will take them to Jesus. At least we can bring them to church, to the pool, so God can give them salvation and healing. "I have no man when the waters trouble to put me into the pool. Sad day when the church becomes just a social club. And we forget those spiritually sick that need someone to put them into the pool. I don't know about you, but I told my people there in El Salvador, as long as I am pastor of this church, the Iglesia Bautista Independiente would be a soul-winning church. Like it or not, we are going to be after lost souls. As long as the devil continues blinding and halting and withering people, I told the people, the Iglesia Bautista Independiente will be a pool of Bethesda, where the moving of the water will be continuous, where souls will be saved, where lives will be changed. Why don't you decide that you will make yourself available to the needs of fallen men? If it means to give up TV time, if it means to give up your time for soul winning time, decide that you will at least bring someone to the pool. In El Salvador, we have panaderos. Panadero is the guy that has a little stove and he makes bread. So he gets his little bicycle and has a big, huge basket. And has a little horn, goes in every house, quick, 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 quick. And when you hear the little quick, 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 this is the guy with the bread. And you just go out and buy the bread. It's just fresh. It's nice and smells good. And it's great. They have fresh bread. You know, I see my ministry exactly like that panadero guy. People don't fall in love with the panadero or with the bicycle he has. Hey, you got nice wheels, or you got, you know, that's a nice little quickie thing that you have in there. They want the bread. And that's what we are. We're just trying to let people have a little piece of what we have. Jesus is the bread of life. You know, I tell my people, we are just water faucets. You know, if you're very thirsty and you wish you can drink some water and you go to the water faucet, to the fountain, and you push the thing and no water comes out. You know, you don't say, oh, well, that's a nice water fountain. But if it doesn't have any water, it's no good. I tell my people, we're just water faucets. If we don't have any water, people won't want what we have. We're just instruments. Something that God can use for his purpose. I'd like to thank you for praying for us, for supporting us. Most missionaries go 4 years to the mission field, come back and report, and another 4 years come back and report, and another 4 years come back and report. Of course, I'm originally from El Salvador. When I got there, I didn't have to learn the language. The culture was not much of a shock. My wife knew the language. We started the church right away, and we have been pastoring the church for the last 12 years. We're long due for a report. But I just want to thank you. Just keep in mind, you can do the same thing here. There's people waiting for somebody, but I have no men. When the waters trouble, these men said, to put me into the pool. You can be used by God if you only allow yourself to be used. Once again, I'd like to thank Berean Baptist Church for your faithful support, for your prayers. And it's good that we can do a great work there in El Salvador due to the fact that you're behind us. We thank you very much. We covet your prayers, but above all, make yourself available. God can use anybody. I'm sure if God used me these 12 years, I'm sure God can use you too. Once again, thank you. Would you please bow your heads and close your eyes?